ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
They forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be an illusion, for one's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusion. Actually, neither society, friendship, love, or anything else can save one from the onslaught of external energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of illusory condition is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Devahi Aisha Gunamai, Mama Maya Gurdaya, Mam Evahi Prapadyante, Maya Eva Prapadyante. This divine energy of mind, consisting of three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get out of the entanglement of three modes of material nature. Om Ajnana Tumirantasya Jnanantana Shatakaya Chakshuran Vishitamde Atasmai Shri Guru Maha Shri Chaitanya Amana Vishitam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karatam Dadati Swayam Puryantika Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dena Bhattu Jirapate Gopesha Gopika Nanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Takta Ranchana Karunaki Radhe Vrinda Maneshwari Vrishadham Sute Devi Pranamami
in his chambers outside, he was being the security guard,
And if I'm not wrong, that's the story. And then Lord Shiva wanted to enter, and he was asked not to let anyone go in. And Lord Shiva got upset, and he chopped off the head of Ganesh. And when everyone pleaded and requested that bring him back to life, then he was replaced by chopping off the head of the elephant. So this devotee was telling that if the soul was within the head, even within the brain, then the elephant's head was placed on Ganesh. That's how we worship Lord Ganesh now, who has the elephant head and the trunk or the body of a human. So the point he is making is, it's okay, we understand that the soul was in the brain, but when the head of the elephant was replaced on Ganesh, then that particular elephant's soul with that consciousness should have come in Ganesh. But we see that doesn't happen. So Lord Ganesh still remains who he was, only the head was replaced. But then this is like Vedic science is saying the soul is in the heart. So then the doctors also give a comfort that we have done so many heart transplantations. The hearts are removed. They change, they put new hearts, then there is the soul. So if soul is not in the heart, it's not in the brain, then there it is. So to understand this properly, when according to doctors, when they're talking about air in the body, they just speak of oxygen basically. But according to Vedic knowledge, there are five types of air in the body. Anyone knows the name? Five types of air within the body. Apana. Prana. Vyana. Saman. Udan. So Udan, Saman, Prana, Vyana, Spano, Apana. Five. So these five airs, they all have different works to do. Some is dealing with the joints. So if someone's that particular air is disturbed, joint problem comes. Someone is dealing with the thinking area on the brain side. Someone is dealing with the chest region. So others are dealing with the digestion. So it's different combination of all these areas. And when there is within the body, where the central balance of all these five areas is placed, that's the place where soul takes shelter within the body. For us, it's the region of the heart where the central balance is of all these five areas. That's where the energy is given out to the body, consciousness is spread through the body. Because there are many living entities who, people can argue, where is the heart of a plant? Then if the soul is situated in the heart, then where is the plant, the soul is situated in the heart? Because there is no heart in the plant. So that's where quantum explaining that they are situated where the energy force is secreted, also pushed out within the body, so which is the central balance of all these airs. So now plants will have a different form of air, these five are in the same similar combination. So that's the point. So Prabhupada is making this point that now soul is in the region of the heart for us, and that's where the three modes of material nature, are. Are operating on the soul. Prabhupada uses a nice word. So he says that in the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these three qualities they react. Within the heart, where the soul is, which is covered by these three modes of material nature, that's where these three modes react. So for us as devotees, for us our faith is our very prime asset. Because all we are doing as a practicing devotee is developing our faith. That's all we are doing basically. Whatever we are doing in Krishna consciousness is just to develop our faith. Which is not blind faith, which is through intelligence, which is through service, which is through book distribution, which is through Bhagavatam classes, which is to even prasadam or whatever we are doing, we are trying to develop our faith. So now, we see a little bit more on faith through Madhurya Kadambini also and how it is affected. So, faith in these three different modes, that same faith, same devotee coming to temple, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, how his faith is very different in these three different modes. So in mode of ignorance, the faith of a devotee, how is displayed is sometimes the devotee is lazy. It's not just the description of mode of ignorance, but the specifically about the faith in mode of ignorance. So the devotee can act out of laziness, oversleeping, give up very easily. Some responsibility comes very easily, gives up. Oh, who will take care of this festival? Oh, that's too much. Some services come and just find problems and somehow allocate to someone else. I cannot do. So much of pressure. Very easily give up. Breaks rules. Very good. That's a symptom of mode of faith in mode of ignorance. Break rules. Our four rules. This is something. Most of the rules. Some rules are so private that only you know that you are breaking. So that's individual. Look within. Say it out. That's symptom of mode of ignorance. Oh, what a nice class is here. And can't remember. Today's darshan was the best. Can't remember the address. What amazing kirtan. Can't remember what he knows in Chandra. The symptom stays out. We did a whole 2, 3, 5, 8 hours of service and then because mind was somewhere else, body was somewhere else. So the consciousness doesn't get nourished, you don't feel enthusiastic. After doing service because of being stays out. This is the symptom of mode of ignorance. Then faith in mode of passion is fruitive mindset. What will I get? So much of book distribution happening, marathon ends. And what they did? One photo they gave as gift and
Jai.
Yeah. Every day Jai happens. So fruit. What is the fruit for me for doing that service? I'm going and doing certain cooking every day for the deities. Until someone says it was very nice, you cook very nice prasadam. Until we hear that, somewhere there is no satisfaction. We don't feel happy. So, over endeavor. Recognition, that's of course part of being rooted. Fighting. You see, operating faith in mode of passion ends up in fighting. How? Very commonly seen sometimes. This is my flower, your flower, this is my book, your book, this is what I see, your seat. This is my time, my soul, my utensil, my subject, my coriander is missing. So, faith in mode of passion. Separatism is another big problem. Having separate agenda from Krishna, from Prabhupada, from the authorities itself is mode of passion. And then politics. We all know about it. So that's faith in mode of passion. Then faith in mode of goodness is, of course, you know this politics. It's regulated. Devotee is peaceful while performing their services. We can see, actually you can observe those devotees, whatever may be the situation around them, whatever may be the troubles around them, whatever mode of passion and ignorance is being followed by other devotees around them, they are peaceful. They are calm, composed, they are operating in knowledge and they are fruitful. So these are symptoms of mode of, this is symptoms of faith in mode of goodness, which is worth developing. So Madhuri Kadavani explains that what we are doing in our spiritual life is as practicing sadhaka, the devotees, is we are trying to do bhajan. We are trying to develop our devotional career through our devotional practices, which is our bhajan. So Madhuri Kadavani is explained that there is in our situation where our faith is not very strong, which is very weak faith. That weak faith is also known as anishta. Anishta means form faith, anishta means weak faith. So when we are doing bhajan, or when we are doing our devotional practices in that weak faith, which is anishta bhajan kriya, What happens? It is so interesting. That's what I wanted to share. There are stages in Anishta Bhajan Kriya. There is no chronology. He just mentioned it's not one after another, but it can happen simultaneously, these stages, or it can happen all at a time. One can experience all these stages in a day, or one, a devotee can experience them throughout their lives in different forms and different shapes. This is very interesting. If actually you note it down, it's very interesting. So these Anishta Bhajan Kriya, the first stage is Utsamai. Utsamai is immature enthusiasm. Very, very new. A devotee is very new. And his enthusiasm is immature because and anything that comes up, he wants to do. Anything is any services that comes up, he wants to take care of the responsibility. He is jumping up and down. I will distribute books, hold on for 14-15 hours of Harinam book distribution. Because the faith, it's still anishta stage, it's not firmly situated faith. A devotee can have immature enthusiasm. There is nothing wrong with enthusiasm, but it can have immature enthusiasm. Why? Because the fuel is not devotional service or pleasing Krishna. The pride is connected to that. So, you know, Bhajan Prabhu says that many devotees experience it. After being 6 to 8 months or maybe a year old devotee, many devotees go through this that they start to feel that I know everything now. Because after being familiar with the process, the place, the philosophy, whatever it is, 8 months or 1 year, then they start to feel that they know everything. I remember when in 2007 I was only 8 months old chanting Hare Krishna. I came to Melbourne. I was standing before I came, so one day a lecture was in class. And after the class, someone came and personally was asking me a question, and I was sitting next to him. This is 2007. And the next one was explaining, and in my mind I was thinking, this can be better explained. He's not giving right example. So then I started thinking in between, and then I started explaining. And it just took me some time only to figure out that what is his understanding and what is my understanding because of this Utsamai, over-enthusiasm, immature enthusiasm. That's one of the stages of Anishta Bhajan Kriya. Then the second one is Ghanatarala. Thick and thin wavering enthusiasm. Thick and thin wavering enthusiasm. Sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes lethargic. We all go through that. Sometimes very enthusiastic. Now Karthik is there, that's it. We saw that, right? It's glorious when it was entered, but how Karthik began, temple was bad. 4 or 5 days later, we could see it, the number reducing. But of course, when it was a time, which is amazing. But this happens. In our Anishta stage, it happens. Another enthusiasm goes shooting high and then it goes shooting down also. Third is Vyuda Vikalpa. Doubts and vacillating resolve. So that is after making a fixed resolve, soon the mind changes. That from today onwards, this happens. From today onwards, 1 hour reading, sure, minimum. That day only it doesn't happen. Or from today onwards, that's it, no more time wasting on social media. Maximum will last a day or two. Why? Because beautiful, the doubts and the resolve are changing constantly. Fourth is Vishaya Sangara, tug of war with sense enjoyment. Aren't we all going through this? Means then we were discussing all the things in our ashram class and I was thinking. Then I asked Prabhu, is it that 1 or 2 we will be going through because I can see all I am going through? All the 5, 6, whatever the stages are, I am simultaneously going through. So what it is? I am feeling discouraged. Then I asked him, you know, is it one after another it happens? Because if it is one after another, Then after so many years also I see all six are there. So will it change? How it will happen? So yes, so console me with this consoling words, but I am not able to. So that this Vishaya Sangara, tug of war with sense enjoyment. Sometimes we are fighting, and we win or we lose. There is a fight. I will not enjoy. I will not do this. I will not do that. And then we lose the battle. So with Vishaya Sangara, something very interesting happens. When this tug of war is happening, Krishna is basically testing the sincerity of the devotee. So based on how sincere we are in avoiding or accepting sense enjoyment, we see come out of this. Fifth is Niyamakshama. We are doing so many devotional activities for the sake of doing it. We are doing it for the sake of doing it. Following a name, a rule. Why? Because for the sake of doing it. And that happens because we don't have moral goodness in us. That's due to lack of moral goodness that happens. Which is Niyamakshama. The sixth one is Taranga Rangini. This is another interesting one. This is the last one, but it's an interesting one. This doesn't happen in the very beginning stage, but it happens in the later stages. Means after a few years, one can see this. Taranga Rangini is enjoying the material benefits of bhakti. So now what are the material benefits of bhakti? What are the material benefits you can get out of bhakti, out of devotional service?
Peacefulness.
Huh? Peacefulness, yeah.
Fame.
Fame, yes. What a singer you are, what a class you give, what preacher. Nice cook. You have education, best pujari.
You send it to love for
material. I'm saying material benefits of bhakti. Surrender to Krishna is the goal of bhakti. Ego, yeah. Fame. What else?
Money,
yes. Money can come. That's another material benefit of bhakti.
Comforts
will come actually. People will offer comforts to you. Increase in material desire. How? These are all increasing in material desire only. So, if a devotee who is not fixed or stable in his devotional practices, in his bhajan, and when material benefits are offered from the practice of bhakti, it's very hard for the devotee to put that in service of Krishna. Very difficult. It's very difficult for the devotee to offer those material benefits in service of Krishna. It takes a lot of practice to 100% offer all the material benefits in service of Krishna. It may appear easy, but it's not. Why? Because it is so subtle, those benefits coming to us, that we cannot offer it to Krishna. We just accept it. And how we accept? We accept it as Krishna Prasad. we take it as mercy coming from Krishna. But actually it's not. And many devotees, they do see it, that after some time that becomes the cause of their fall down. Accepting those material benefits as prasadam, but it was bhoga. It was not prasadam yet, it was bhoga. It was not offered to Krishna yet. So, one time, Devataji Mataji was telling, she said that suppose someone is giving donation to someone, and some devotee, and that devotee accepts the donation and doesn't lose in Krishna's service. So the person who is giving will not get any harmful effect, because that devotee is giving with that faith that it is going to Krishna. But the one who is receiving it, if he is affected by Taranga Rangini, if he wants to enjoy separately the benefit coming from bhakti, he is in big trouble. So the one who is giving doesn't have to worry, because from their side, the one who is giving some donation, they are giving for the right cause and according to them for the right purpose and right person. Now, it depends on that individual or the society or the community or the institution how they use it. So, it's very important. So then these all happen. These stages of anishta bhakti, the ability of experience, at least I felt that, oh my God, this is all this happening on daily basis, or every second day I see this and that problem with me. Then what is the scope? Then the scope is that bhajan kriya is our scope. If we stick to the bhajan kriya, if we stick to the process of devotional service, then anishta will gradually turn towards anishta, which happens gradually. So, like for example, we may not be doing our chanting very well. We may not be chanting very well. We may be chanting somehow or other, finishing our 16 rounds. But after many years of practice, if we are not falling in the category of four types of offenses, if these four types of offenses can be avoided, any idea what those four types of offenses are? Yeah, that's one. Jiva Aparadh, Seva Aparadh, Inattentive Chanting Nama Aparadh, and then Vaishnava Aparadh. So, these four offenses are very, very critical in any devotee's life. We all have heard about it many times. See, Vaishnava Aparadh, we have heard a lot that one should not offend the devotees. One should not be critical towards the devotees. Now what does that mean in a very simple way is one should not be having a mindset or a mood that I cannot see that particular devotee being progressed, getting progress or being favored or having name and fame or getting some benefits for whatever he is doing. So to make him, because of my envy, I want to him be rid of all those benefits, and then I act very enviously to pull that devotee down. Sometimes we are working together and then we see, I'm also working, he's also working. But my authority, the management or senior devotees are developing this particular devotee. Then in a very indirect way, we go and start putting that devotee in bad light. So that's one way of question of her.
Leg pulling.
Another very common way of question of her is, which is very, people find it somehow some tasty, which is talking ill about other devotees in the back. Not only. You heard this problem happened, that problem happened. And very easily you get into this trap where this Vaishnava Aparadh is practiced. The other aparadh which should be very careful about is Seva Aparadh. What is Seva Aparadh? It's either towards the deities or connected to the deities or any service in temple is for Radha Vallabha. So it's either direct devotion service towards Radha Vallabha or something which is indirect. And that is Seva Aparadh. Cutting corners in Seva Aparadh, trying to find ways where because I am doing that particular Seva, what benefit can I get while I am doing that Seva? Which is a classic example is because I am cooking, I have right to take it. Because I cook, I have right to take that offering. That's seva, actually that's seva. Then, nama aparadh, we chant the 10 offenses every day, we know a lot about it. Inattention is the root cause of aparadh. Then the fourth is jiva aparadh. Offenses towards living entity. Offense towards different living entities. And that can be, that doesn't have to be a devotee, but that doesn't have to be a human also. That can be another living entity also. We have seen many times morning when we are chanting, any insect is there, devotees are very careful. in picking up the insect and putting it out. Because they understand, we cannot just step over. We cannot be careless while walking and just step over any living entity and kill the living entity. So that's, then if you see outside, I don't know whether you notice or not, many times with devotees we are very nice, because if we are not nice then we will not be treated nicely here. But when we are with outsiders, we are a completely different person. We are a very different person. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says the devotee is not one who is chanting 64 rounds a day. He says the devotee is one who is a gentleman or a gentle lady. Everyone can recognize that particular nature of a devotee. So very important. So why am I saying these four apradhas? It's because these four offenses will continue these particular stages of Anishtha Bhajan here, which we all are going through in some form or the other. So very important. So now we see Prabhupada is talking a lot about mind in this particular purport. So we see with a simple example, just wanted to explain how, what is mind, intelligence and how soul, the three are operating. So because it's soon time for breakfast, I'll use the example of breakfast only. So none of the menus which I've been telling now is there in the breakfast, so my apologies. So if someone is, suppose someone is from Australia or someone is from India, and then within India someone is from northern side, someone is from southern part of India. So as soon as option of breakfast comes in mind, as soon as someone talks about breakfast, now based on where you are born, which is based on your karma, of course, and based on what your association is, or based on what impressions you've got throughout your life, mind is going to give you certain options for breakfast. Suppose if someone is from Australia, then there are many options, but we'll go up for the vegetarian ones, which is bread, butter, jam, muesli, yogurt, fruits.
Vegemite.
Of course, eggs, bacon, taken that all options available on top of it. So, but if you have someone exposed from India and you are from north part of India, then as soon as someone takes, say, breakfast, you can say aloo paratha, gobi paratha, gajar paratha, mooli paratha, all these options will come. And if you are from southern part of India, then idli, utpam, dosa, upma, khichdi, these options will come. So mind, based on what mind has attained, suppose a family you are born in, or the culture or country you are born in, which is based on your karma, then the impressions one has got in due course of life, and the association one has, then your mind will have an actual option for you as soon as you say breakfast. So before we see, I'm from in my family, if you are sick, then only you will be khichdi. So when I initially started coming, it was very difficult for me to accept every day khichdi, because the impression was so strong that only if you are not well you will be khichdi. Whereas in some parts of India it's not the case. It's one of the main diets. So now with the constant association and constant impression, now it has changed. So in my mind, just the breakfast comes, khichdi is the first option, because that's what we get every day. So no one in India eats salad in breakfast, majority of the people. Very few people would like salads. But now, getting this association, this impression constantly, that the default setting is changed. So it's exactly like if you have a computer, you go on a URL and then you want to open certain website, and then as suppose you want to go to Office Works website, but as soon as you type O, it's naturally going to open a website which from O you have typed most before, or it will give you the suggestion to open it. That's how mind is. So as soon as a desire comes to enjoy in certain way, mind produces options. Now the job of the intelligence, which is a discriminating faculty within us, is to tell us which is best for us. Now the problem is, the way we have trained our intelligence, that's how the option intelligence is going to suggest. So if someone has no idea about good health, has no clue what good health is all about, then one mind, if mind produces certain options of food, then intelligence may choose a very unhealthy option. Because one has never trained one's intelligence in good diet. So with this example, what happens, what I'm trying to explain, is this is exactly what we all are going through in our day-to-day life. A certain idea comes, I want to enjoy, and then mind will straight away produce options. Watch this, do this, touch that, eat that. And then what intelligence will do? Because intelligence is not trained, intelligence will choose one of the options which is going to lead me downwards. Now if that option is in mode of ignorance or in mode of passion, I am in trouble. So it's completely my responsibility, our responsibility to change the default URL setting, the automatic options which comes in my mind. Now how that can happen is only and only, which Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita also, is, which we have heard 15 number of times, is if intelligence is trained to not accept those options, or to, because intelligence is superior to the mind, is to counter those options and then give a superior option, then only it's possible. For example, if because mind is like a software, for example, and then within the computer there is virus, and the software has virus. So now intelligence, which is the antivirus, now the antivirus will counter the virus within the software in the computer. Now if the, which is in a general case, people can using their intelligence can fight with mind's demands. Now imagine if your mind's demand is much, much bigger, stronger, and harder, which your intelligence cannot cope up with. So that means the virus within the software is much bigger than your antivirus can deal with. Then your antivirus is going to say, in the system, please update, I cannot handle this virus. And that will happen many times for devotees also. That means that your mind is going to give so much trouble that our intelligence can't cope up with that. So what intelligence does is that intelligence goes, which is the antivirus, goes to the main company, the global company, which is going to update and give solution to that virus also. So for us, that main company or the global company is the Supreme Lord. When our intelligence gives up, where our intelligence actually gives up on dealing with the mind's crazy demands, and intelligence has no capacity to deal with it, if that time we cannot connect to Krishna, we are going to lose this battle. We are going to lose this battle. Because every time on our own intelligence we cannot fight, we will lose many times. So when we understand that this is beyond me, and that happens for all of us, that the crying and the shoutings and the pushing of the mind are so loud sometimes that intelligence is not even heard in that. It is so loud and so thick that intelligence cannot deal and fight with it. That's where we need to connect to the source. And Prabhupada in his conversation gives an amazing conversation actually. Very simple, which you have heard hundreds of times, these particular points of Prabhupada, and you hear from him, it's different. He says, Shukdev Goswami said, Samena, Sama means Manasa Niyama, controlling the mind. The mind's business is exception, acceptance and rejection. That is mind's business. Even one is very elevated, the mind's business is mind's business. Mind will accept something, it is very good, the next moment it will reject. That is mind's business. But if you have to fix up your mind in something which you cannot reject, that is only the lotus feet of Krishna. If you fix up your mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, then your mind cannot go elsewhere. You practice it and you will see Samay Manav Krishna Padaravindev, Bhagavatam 9.480. Therefore, Amrish Maharaj, you fix up his mind always. Our Krishna Maharaj's movement means we are teaching our students how to fix the mind always in Krishna, some way or other. That is first class yoga system. Why? Because if you see within our body also, the closer the soul is to the mind, it's a problem. That means that if we relate and connect ourselves with mind, more closer it is, it's a problem. So in Bhagavad Gita also says, we have to create a distance between us and the mind. That only intelligence can push in and do something about it. So more the distance between us and the mind increases, that's on technical level, that's our hope. That means I just don't see myself as my mind. You know, sometimes you're just doing some important work and somewhere the mind thought comes mobile, and because I am a mind, my hand just goes to the phone and I've done it all. Because I'm so close to the mind. Whereas if this is a distance, then I can see the thought, observe the thought, decide to act on it or not. But because I have, there is no distance between me and the mind, we are one. I'm just my mind. So as soon as a thought comes, I want to control it. Eat it, observe it, touch it. And that's why if someone has certain disturbance in the mind, there's an imbalance in the mind, they think and they have to do it. And that can be the most craziest thing in the whole world, because the faculty to observe and discriminate is practically eradicated. So for us also, and that's why if you say, like Prabhupada in one place says, everyone is a madman. Why? Because no one is accepting one's spiritual identity. No one is accepting one's relationship with Krishna. Everyone is a madman. Because of this particular reason, it's just the mind. You know how amazing it is that there someone is in India and they are cheering up for Indian team. How connected it is. Now they move to Australia. After moving to Australia, they have started disliking India, Indian pollution, Indian population, Indian corruption, Indian everything. Now they relate themselves to Australia. So before they would cry if India loses a cricket match, but now the mind has shifted. The ego, which is of course connected with mind and intelligence, has shifted that one's identity, the soul is very much covered by it. Once the identity is shifted, then he cries if Australia loses, or if he feels bad if Australia loses. Same person. Why? Because he is relating to that identity all the time. How many times have you read in Prabhupada's purport, we are not Australians, Americans, Indians, Europeans. This is the reason he is sitting. He is trying to create that difference between mind and the soul, which is us. So, and based on that, Prabhupada is speaking again on family life and how it's a strong statement when he says, when the living entity is inseparable of wife, children, and home, he acts on the mental plane. Which is, again, like previously he was saying, he feels happiness in mode of goodness, in mode of passion, he feels satisfaction from material enjoyment, and in mode of ignorance, he feels the bewilderment. So I'll stop there and see if any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, sir.
You said, Sarvai Vinsa Vana Krishna, Angi Malaya. So how to fix your mind into a serious Krishna? Few examples, like chanting.
Yeah, like the other day you were talking about Panchanga Bhakti. So, 5 limbs of devotional service, which is chanting the holiness of the Lord, serving the deities, every Bhagavatam every day.
ABCD,
Prashadam, Prashadam was there, but it's not there, is it? 5 limbs? No. Mathura was Ashrimurti Vidra Seva, Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, and Bhagavatam. So 5 are there. So 6 is there, devotee, Prashadam also, which is important. One time, one devotee was telling that Sharanam, Ketana Vishnu Sharanam, Archana Mandana Dasyam, Pada Sevanam Atma Nivedanam, that is Pada Sevanam Dasyam, Sakyam Dasyam Atma Nivedanam. It's not very tasty. It's not very juicy. You don't like it. It could have been nice because Sharanam, Ketana Vishnu Sharanam, Prasada Sevanam, Archana Mandana. Yes, of course.
We talk about devotee in the mode of ignorance, passion, and
faith.
Faith. So, like a devotee in the mode of ignorance, lazy and this and that, we talk about it. But at the same time, we put lazy, intelligent devotee on a higher platform.
Yeah. There is a difference in that. Where in the mode of faith and the mode of ignorance, when we are talking about being lazy, that is lazy in terms of one's having spiritual goals in right place. So he's lazy in his priorities, whether this particular activity is taking towards Krishna or away from Krishna. Whereas the lazy intelligence which you are talking about, which is busy fool, lazy intelligent, busy intelligent. Prabhupada says the highest is the lazy intelligent. Because there the laziness is that materially he is not too much involved. He is not too much acting all the time. That's a Brahmana. A Brahmana is not physically laboring all the time. He uses his intelligence to engage others effectively. So he uses his intelligence to engage others effectively so that he is not busy. He can free himself from all these things and that's lazy intelligence. That difference is there. So if you are always busy, intelligently always busy, then you don't have time for your own spiritual progress, which is generating a company. So that lazy intelligence is talking about a Brahmana who is not busy physically, but he is lazy physically because he is engaged. He's not lazy physically anymore. You got the point, right? Yes, ma'am.
You were mentioning how the mind acts in a certain way and then just pretty much the same way every time, same response, and then you have to use the intelligence to get it out from there.
Yes.
So, like, sometimes it's not possible because the response is the same, and by one's own effort, one cannot use the intelligence to get it out of that way.
Yeah.
So then, some people don't have spiritual masters, etc. So then how can they break from
that? See, the thing is that we may not have access to Krishna or Guru or even Prabhupada books or anything at that time. But please remember that if we are very sincere, we have spiritual master within us also, which is the Chaitanya Guru Paramatma.
Would you call that the super conscious?
Super soul. Super soul or super consciousness within us, which is the Supreme Lord. And if you see in so many cases, where they don't have access to devotees' association around them, Prabhupada actually writes in one of the purports also. It doesn't matter if you are in a situation where there is no devotee association around you. But if you are sincere, Paramatma will guide. And that does happen to many devotees. But it cannot be taken as an excuse of because of my own nature or because of my own particular inclination of my particular own psychologically trained, which is the way I have trained myself, that you know, some people are reserved, which is natural for them, they are reserved. But still it should not stop them to be in close association of devotees. So if we have facility to be with devotees and if we don't make use of it, then this reason doesn't apply to us, for example. So, coming to your question, basically, mind is going to trick us. There is no doubt about it, because that's what it's meant for. material energy, Krishna's material energy, which is the most powerful energy, Krishna says in the same Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's writing, quoting, Deva is a gunamai, mama maya durate. Durate. She is practically next to impossible to overcome. So Krishna's this external energy, which is Krishna's Devi Mahi, Deva Gunamai, actually deals with us through the mind. Through the mind. Mind is one of our favorite soldier fighters. Our mind is material energy's most powerful soldier to fight with us only. How amazing is that? That's how the Krishna designed the system. So now, if mind is the most powerful soldier for the other party, and for me, you know, there is a battle going on, and I have my general, army general, or my senapati, whom I trust the most, but that particular person is a traitor. He is fighting for the other party, and I trust that person the most. And I tell all the war secrets, and I share all the war secrets, and I follow all the instructions of this traitor, who is actually working for the other party. My defeat is confirmed. It's going to happen only. But the best and the best part is, in a war, if there is a traitor on your side whom you trust the most, you don't know that he is a traitor, and you keep trusting. But for us, Krishna has already told, he is a traitor. Mind is a traitor. We hear from devotees practically on every day, every Bhagavatam class, mind is a traitor. And forget about hearing, we experience it every day. Again he cheated me. Afternoon again he cheated me. Breakfast only he cheated me. Then lunchtime again he cheated me. Then evening again. Then night again. These many offerings doesn't go to Radha, number of times he cheated me. How many times will he cheat me? Then next day again, oh, you are my senapati. You are my dear friend. Morning again cheats, afternoon again cheats, night before sleeping, just before sleeping also nine cheats. And again, so you can say the other thing, who's at fault? So if I know this is the issue, and if I know I have this problem with me, then how much responsibility is on me to create security around me, because one of the most trusted members or man is a traitor. So what is that security? That association. In a very close proximity of devotees. In one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes is such a statement actually. I tried to memorize exactly what I could not forget. If Prabhupada says that one should develop one's thinking power, one should develop one's thinking power under the close scrutiny of a person who is authority in scripture. One should develop one's thinking power under the close scrutiny, under the strict scrutiny of a person who has authority in scripture. Now that can be a spiritual master, that can be a fellow devotee also. But are we under the close scrutiny or not? Or I want my private space, because I am touching not devotee. I create an aura around me. Do not dare to correct me. If you correct me, that person will get shock, electric shock. So it's up to me. It's up to me how much security I want around me, because I know my most trusted man is a traitor, which is a mind. So who can stop you to have security? No one can stop you to have security. We are not in a country town where only 50 people are there in the village and I am the only devotee, and 1,000 kilometers away there is no devotee. We have overload of devotees there. Too many devotees, or many devotees. No, it can never be too many, but we have many devotees there. Then, the responsibility against the is how much security I have, what I want to have around me, how much am I hearing, how much am I listening, how much am I closely associating, how much freedom I have given to devotees to find fault and correct me. How much? Hardly. And that's why devotees who are married, who are at home, and 45 minutes a week they come to temple, for example, those who are staying far. This 45 minutes is cherished because this is the time they are secured. rest 1 hour, 167 hours and 15 minutes. It was 168 hours in a week, I think. They're by themselves fighting with the traitor, which is their own man. So, but for us, we are fortunate. Most of us are living close to temple or in the temple. We have opportunity. It's a different opportunity we have to deal with the traitor.
So you're saying that the opportunity, how we can beat the mind's habits is by devotee association and being open to some form of courage and mentoring.
How? Is it not true that how much we allow ourselves to be in scrutiny by other devotees is actually my job, not devotees' job? I was thinking the other day, and really thinking itself makes you scared or fearful. What happens? Think about it, please. What happens if there is no devotee? If there is no devotee on this planet who is worried about my spiritual progress, what will happen? If there is no one, not even a single person on this planet who worries about my spiritual progress, what will happen to me? Imagine. When I was thinking, thinking itself you get scared. What will happen? If no one is worried about my spiritual progress, nobody. Nobody means nobody.
But their own spiritual progress?
There is no one in this planet who cares about my spiritual progress. Isn't it a scary thought? It's a very scary thought. It's very fearful to think if that happens, that no one cares about my spiritual progress. I can do anything, no one will care. I feel very scared about that, huh?
It can't happen.
I'm just saying. But we can create situations like that. There are devotees who have done that. Of course, Krishna and Prabhupada, spiritual master, still may be worrying about them, but they have created such a thick walls around them that no one wants to get electric shock when they go close to them.
There's an old saying, you know, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. But the enemy that we keep close is the subconscious, which programs us without our conscious. So conscious, subconscious and superconscious.
Yeah.
This is the three that I see. You know, one see it in maybe word in a different way.
Yeah, of course. That's true. Now you're saying keep your enemies closer because that's our purpose, because we're a critical baby. But our problem is not that we keep our enemies closer. We think I am that.
That's exactly.
I am the mind.
Same thing.
I am the mind. It is so close that I think I am the mind. You know, let's say the ball example I'm giving. If the king puts 100% faith in the general and he says, you take the decision because you are we are one. How would it happen? And that person is a traitor. It's a disaster recipe. Mataji, you were saying something.
Yes, if we have six ways of surrender and two features of the mind. Now, as the mind accepts and rejects, one feature, these two features of the mind are accepting and rejecting everything in relation to Krishna. Accepting everything in relation to Krishna and rejecting everything what's not related to Krishna. As you were mentioning, the computer, the mind, is like short-term memory and long-term memory is like subconsciousness where we store all our memories and which they make us act.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, basically, well, they make us react. So what to do? The short-term memory, the processor in the computer will work only what we put in the computer through the senses. If we download something from internet, if we see something which is not related to Krishna, if we hear something not related to Krishna, then that's what the mind is going to process. So that's why it's the first thing in the spiritual consciousness is material sense gratification. And we need to see everything, okay, is this helping me in Krishna consciousness? How is this related to Krishna consciousness? Then you are going on completely different way of processing the things.
Yeah.
And you reject everything what's harmful and what you are going to download in your computer, and then you will act, then that's what's going to go in your mind. You can't escape it because that's what you put in the computer.
Yeah. I think before you came, you just did talk about this one. See, the six symptoms, Mataji is talking about a symptom of a devotee on our platform. So he is on that platform. Why? Because he accepts whatever is favorable and rejects what's not favorable. But in our say, we are not on that platform. But at least we can work towards that direction. But the problem here is that how will I know if it is favorable to me or not in my Krishna consciousness? For that we need this protection. For that we need close association of devotees. And you know, there are devotees, there are a couple of boys, Australian boys. They never met any devotees. This is what Prabhupada's books. They started reading, not even I'm talking about. They started reading Prabhupada's books. And then they started reading, and then amongst them they decided that this is truth. And as friends, they had taken a vow that once you are convinced if something is truthful, we'll follow it. If something is true, we'll follow it. So once they started reading Prabhupada's book, then they said, no, it's true. There is nothing you can say it's false. So now our commitment was whatever is true, we have to follow it. So they started practicing Krishna consciousness. And started practicing for more than a year or something, they were practicing Krishna consciousness by themselves. These 2-3 friends. These Prabhupada's books. So that Paramatma does act like, right, to protect them. Amazing, huh? The thought that once you are convinced it's truth, we'll follow it. Paramatma, and with this sincerity, gave them this opportunity. Then they came in contact with devotees, now they are practicing much better. They are very well situated. So it's just a combination, not just one thing can happen, help and one other thing. It's a combination of the whole scheme. Anything else? So, yes?
Rupa's view that vessels are very tender from the 3 crore to 3 crore. How? Vessels
are very tender. Correct. So, how do you escape? So, Prabhupada is saying that Vaishnava is one of the most dangerous of all the apras. How to escape from that? See, we have a natural tendency to find fault in others, because the reason I find fault in others is because I feel superior. That's why I find fault in others. And if I am doing a certain mistake, if I have a certain problem, Prabhupada says in one place, Atma, whatever I am, I see in others. So if I have a certain contamination, I see in the other person. If I have a habit of lying, then even if the other person is very truthful, can't be true. Cannot be possible. Because I have that habit. So because I have that attitude, then I want to see that in another person, and I put that fault on the other person. But if you see this tendency in us, a fault finding tendency, if we identify that I have this fault-finding tendency in fellow devotees and my colleagues who are working with devotees, there is one way to counter it. Find opportunity to glorify them. At least we celebrate birthdays and we just glorify the devotee. That's how we celebrate birthdays here at least. We celebrate birthdays, we cut a cake that is just excellent formality. Of course, everyone gets to eat something, but what we wait for, what we think, and what we meditate on, at least that particular day or that hour, is what are the good qualities of the devotee. So it does 2 things. First, it purifies us, because we are seeing good qualities of other person. Second, it inspires that devotee and other devotees also to develop those qualities. You know, Radhanath Maharaj was glorifying one of his disciples, and the disciple was feeling very awkward that spiritual master is glorifying. So Maharaj made a very nice point. He said, if we don't glorify you, we will fall down. But if you accept the glorification, you will fall down. So both has to happen. One will say, oh, I will not glorify, I don't want to make him powder. That's not your problem. You glorify. You glorify the devotee. But of course, it should not be kite flying. We go so high that it should be inspiring, enthusing that devotee more, and genuine appreciation should be there.
Not flattery.
Not flattery. Not flattery. Not for the sake of saying. Okay, it's 9 a.m. Yes, sorry.
You know the verse, Daivi Hesha Guru, it says my divine nature, my illusory energy is very difficult to overcome, and only those who surrender unto me, they can cross over it. That means the conditions of us to surrender. And what are the principles of surrender? We have to do all these 6 principles of surrender, accepting and rejecting.
Yes.
Those on Baba platform, they do it that fully and
their natural
way of thinking, they don't even have to think.
Yes.
But we have to think, how I'm going to accept, how I'm going to depend on Krishna for protection, for maintaining, being always humble.
Yes.
So we have to practice these things of surrender and think about it, how we can implement it and apply it.
You're right. A high standard is always to look up to reach to. So that's what we have to reach to, yes. Thank you.
Prasasham Bhavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.